chapter 5, starting with verse 1. It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. And you are puffed up and have not mourned, that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from you. For I verily, as absent in the body, but present in spirit, have judged already as though I were present concerning him that hath so done this deed. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, when we are gathered together, and my spirit with the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that in the spirit, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as you are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. I wrote to you in an epistle not to accompany with fornicators, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, nor extortioners, or the idolaters, for then must ye needs go out of the world. But now I have written to you not to keep company if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, or covetous, an idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner. With such a one know not to eat. For what have I to do to judge them that are without? Do not you judge them that are within? But them that are without God judges. Therefore put away from among yourselves that wicked person. Seems like a nice, short, sweet, cut and dried thing, doesn't it? I need the New American Standard. You got it? If you look it up for me, have it ready for me so I can use it. Okay. Now, let me tell you something before I start this chapter. Do you know what Paul does in many of his writings, what he does, how he expresses himself? No, that's not what I'm saying. He uses a method to teach. And this method is called metaphors. He's very notorious for using metaphors. So when he's talking about something, what's he really doing? Talking about something else. Isn't that what a metaphor is? He's saying this, but he's talking about that. Okay? Now, wait a minute. Just wait. I said it's a metaphor, and what is he doing here? He's teaching with a metaphor, and no one's paying attention to it. They're just looking for condemnation and guilt. Huh? It's a natural teaching about the spiritual. But he's setting a metaphor up. He's saying what this man did is one thing. Yeah, it's wrong. Man shouldn't be doing it. He's saying the man's sleeping with his stepmother. It's wrong. Okay? But that's, watch how he goes away from that and doesn't come back to it. He never mentions it again, does he? He never mentioned that again. If that was the issue, how come he only spoke of it one time? You hear what I'm saying? Why did he only speak? If this man sleeping with his stepmother was the big deal, how come it was only mentioned one time and he never mentions it again? Metaphor. He's teaching us something. Watch this. Okay. When it says, it is reported commonly, that's not what it said. The book doesn't say that. The language says, it is heard everywhere. It's heard everywhere. Can I have the NAS now? Let me have the book. And I'll read it up here. The NAS says, it is actually reported that there is immorality among you, and immorality of such a kind that does not even exist in the Gentiles, that someone has his father's wife. Okay? Let me go ahead and finish this now in the King James. What it says. It said, it is reported commonly or heard everywhere that there everywhere fornication. Well, the words that there is are all added words. It is heard commonly that fornication is among you or in you, and such fornication as is not so much as named, not so much as is the word not even mentioned among the Gentiles, that one should, the word should isn't there, that one have his father's wife. The word should isn't even in there. and you are puffed up. He said, you're proud, and have not rather mourned that he that hath done this deed not might be taken away, but be taken away from among or what? Or in you. We're talking about internal things, are we not? Isn't that what God is? He's dealing with things in here, not out there. See? He said, verse 3, because I verily, as absent in body, but present in spirit, have judged already as though I were present. The word concerning isn't even there. I were present him that hath so done this deed. Okay? Now, if you look at this, there's a comma behind the word deed, isn't there? What does that comma tell you? It's connected with this in a way. It's marking these two things together. It wouldn't have put a comma to end the paragraph, I mean the verse, if it was the end of the verse, would it? See, it was a letter that was being written. There was a little comma in there and goes on, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that's what it should say. Concerning him that has so done this deed in the nature of our Lord. He said, I have judged this thing in the nature of Christ. Now, Jesus said, he never condemned anyone. Hello? You can judge something without condemning, can't you? There's a positive and a negative judgment, isn't there? When you take the word crisis, it can be a positive or a negative judge, can it? The settlement or the words. You can go before a judge to be tried and judged, and guess what comes out of it? It could be a positive acquittal, or it could be a guilty, couldn't it? A negative. Isn't that true? So we look at this thing and think, automatically we think negative when we say this thing, judge. But judge does not always mean negative, does it? But he did it in the nature of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, when we're gathered together in my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, when this all is done, there's this, what's going to be done? Let me read this in another. Where's the Living Bible? I want that one now. Okay. Verse 4. Right? Let me read verse 3 and 4 together in the Living Bible. Although I'm not here, not there with you, I have been thinking a lot about this, and in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I've already decided what to do, just as though I were there. You are to call a meeting of the church, and the power of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you as you meet, and I will be there in spirit. That's kind of got some thing, good thoughts in it, but it's got some things that take you off too, so I'm going to leave that alone. Okay? There was some things in there, there was a point in there I wanted to bring out, and I lost it. But in the nature of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you're gathered together in my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, he says, to deliver such a one. You know what the language says? Now, when that says to deliver such a one to Satan, what does that mean to you? Tell me what it means. Okay, now, guess what it really says in the language? It says, to deliver one to be taught. See, you deliver them there to teach them something. Does that sound like someone is throwing somebody in hell? See, you got to go out there and make some mistakes so you can learn. So he says, when I turn them over, he said, turn them over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh. Right there is telling you what it's for. What are they turned to Satan for? To destruction of the flesh. Hello, is that a bad thing? It's a good thing, isn't it? Is that not the good thing? That's really closer to what it should be than what the King James says. So, to deliver one to be taught to Satan, so they can be taught for the destruction of the flesh. See, when you are taught, you know what it's going to do in your life when you're taught by the Spirit of God? It's going to destroy the flesh. True? The Spirit teaching will destroy the flesh. Like we said, the thought process is going into our mind destroys the natural mind, doesn't it? And renews the mind into the Spirit of Christ. Every thought and imagination and high thing, it exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Okay. In order that the Spirit, what? What's it say? Take the word may out of there because that's an added word. In order that the Spirit be what? Delivered. In the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus. So in the day of the Lord, that's when you're going to be delivered. When God's day comes in your individual life. Hello? Didn't Paul say work out your own salvation, your own deliverance with fear and trembling? Each and every one of us has to experience the day of the Lord. Right? So guess what? It's not about going to church and being saved. It's not being stuck in the water. It's not about eating communion. It's not about all these things that they're talking about. But it's about our mind being changed so that Christ can be revealed in each one of us. That's the day of the Lord when He appears. What's it always talking about His appearing? The morning star appearing in her life. The day star appearing in her life. Correct? See, that's what this is about. Us all coming to this understanding. It's not about this natural condemning someone because they did something bad. Let me ask you a question. What's the difference between a man sleeping with his father's wife and someone going out and sleeping with somebody else's daughter or something, raping them or having illicit sex? What's the difference? They're both wrong, aren't they? Well, what's the difference between this man sleeping with his mother, with his stepmother, and these priests running around fondling all these children? You see what I'm saying? Who can sit and say this is worse than that? If it's not godly, it's not godly. Period. It's still going outward. That's what I'm saying. They're looking at an outward thing. We got to be taking this thing internal. Okay? Verse 6, it says this. Your boasting is not good. Not glorying, but boasting. Your boasting is not good. Know you not that a little leaven causes the whole lump to be leavened? Now, what would that tell you? Know you not that a little leaven causes the whole lump to be leavened? You can take a little bit of leaven, a yeast, and throw it in the bread, and the whole loaf becomes leavened, don't it? And it all rises, swells up, right? Yep. Sure. If you've got a little bit in you, you're just as bad as someone that's already filled all the way up with it, isn't you? Because even a little bit's going to mess you up. See, he's talking about internal things here with us. He's not talking about the external. Paul is talking metaphorically with a lot of this stuff and saying, hey, look at yourself. What right have you got to judge somebody else externally? He said, what are you doing judging those outside? We're not supposed to, are we? Okay. Sure, any ungodly thought is just, that's a little bit of leaven, see? And until we come to perfection in our understanding, we're just as bad as anybody else. We might be under the grace of God, but that don't make us any better than anybody else, does it? He says, verse 7, clean out thoroughly. When it says purge out, it says clean out thoroughly, therefore the old leaven. What do you think that old leaven is? It's a carnal thinking, absolutely. In order that you what? Cross out the word may, because that's another added word. In order that you be a what? Literally, a regenerated lump. You hear that? Not new, but a regenerated. Hello? Regenerated. That means you were generated once before, weren't you? That means you're coming back to where you was belonging. And he says, in order that you be, not maybe, because that's doubtful, but you may, that you be regenerated as you are unleavened. Look what he's saying. As you are being unleavened, as you are getting the carnal thinking out of your mind, guess what you're doing? What's it say? As you're being regenerated, as you're being unleavened, as we get the carnal thoughts out of our mind, what are we doing? We're going back to where we were supposed to be from the very beginning. We're taking that law of circularity right back to where we belong. And he must increase. Right? It's about this thing changing around and realizing that before I can point my finger at anybody, I got to point at myself. I got to get myself cleaned up. This is not about condemning somebody else. See, Paul didn't condemn anybody. He was... Get the splinter out of your eye, the log out of your eye, so you pick the splinter. Yeah. So you can pick the splinter out of somebody else's eye. You got to get yourself right before you can go out there and start pointing at somebody else. And once you get yourself right, you know what you won't do? You won't point at nobody else anyway. Because you're not concerned with other lives like that. I got to take care of myself. That's the greatest task I can do, is get myself straightened out. And everybody else is trying to get everybody to say, don't look at me. I'm telling you about you now. See? Sure it will. Just make your life right. And look at the last part of that verse. Because even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. And I know there's people running around saying, Jesus was not the sacrifice. Well, excuse me. He was our Passover, and he was sacrificed for us. The argument of this thing not being Jesus, not being the sacrifice that people have been ministering around on, is that they did not eat his flesh and blood like they did the Passover lamb in Exodus. Well, Jesus said, you must eat my flesh and drink my blood. Did he not? It was a spiritual thing, and somebody missed something. Yep. But right here he says, because even Christ, now I think Paul knew exactly what he was saying. He said, because even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not in old leaven. He's saying, don't keep the feast with your carnal mind. You know what? I can hear Teresa say, you need to get your mind right. You need to get your mind right. Okay? Neither in the leaven of malice. Now notice, look what he's doing. He's not talking about this man no more. What's he talking about? Your mind. It's your mind. He says, don't try to keep the feast with old leaven. Don't try to keep it with malice. And that word malice is literally with ill will. Don't try to keep the feast of God and come together in fellowship with ill will in your heart. See? Don't come with wickedness, or the word wickedness here is evil purposes and desires, but with the unleavened sincerity and truth. The word bread of shouldn't even be there. So it should be the unleavened purity and truth. Our minds should be unleavened, uncarnal, right? Should be spiritual, right? And in truth. If we're doing with just the spirit and truth, guess what? How are we going to have the feast? The right way, right? We're going to have it the right way. We got to forget about all these old rules and regulations and laws that man has put upon us. God is not concerned with this flesh. He's concerned with our thinking, our understanding. And he goes on the ninth verse to say, I wrote to you in an epistle not to associate with what? The word fornicator is pornos. Our word pornography comes from that. But you know, this word pornos has a strange meaning. It's not just any pornography. It says the male. It's a male. It's a masculine word. Okay? It's 4205 in the Strong's Dictionary. And it means it's representing the flesh. Okay? And it represents the flesh that is unfaithful. Okay?
Does leavening represent corruption?
Yes, in the carnal mind or corruption of the mind. So he said, don't associate with those who are unfaithful. Now, he's not talking about the world, because the world don't even know God exists. Hello? He's not even talking about those extra. Watch what he says in these next few verses. He's not pointing back to this man. He's pointing to things going on inside of you and I. Okay? It's what's going on in us right now. He said, don't accompany with those who's unfaithful. Don't fellowship with the flesh. You think he's talking about out there?
No.
He's talking about the flesh of your own thinking. Don't fellowship with your own carnal mind. Here's the truth of this thing. Yet not altogether with the fornicators of the world. He tells you very plainly, doesn't he? I'm not talking about them people out there in the world, or with the covetousness, or the extortioners, and that means the robbers and the greedy people, or with the idolaters. You know what the word idolater means? An image servant. An image servant. That means the image that I see, and people see that and say, oh, it's the guy that's got that golden idol that they bow down for. Uh-uh. It's the image in my mind that I worship that I think is right over what God said. You hear me? It's what I see in my mind as being correct when it argues with God. So you're taken of the leaven. This is an internal thing he's talking about. He's not talking about that stuff out there. And he'll go on to explain it here. Because then must you needs go out of the world. Let me read the NAS. Just a minute. Verse 10. Okay. Did not all men with the immoral people of... I did not at all mean with the immoral people of this world or with the covetous and swindlers or the idolaters, for then you would have to go out of the world. He didn't say not associate with those kind of people. He said, I prayed for them. He said, I didn't pray that he take you out of the world, but he protect you in the world. See? Protect us here in amongst all this stuff. Oh, yes. Okay. Verse 11. But actually, what it should say, I wrote to you not to be intimate with any man that professes to be a brother, that is a fornicator, or greedy, or an image servant, or foul-mouthed, the railer is foul-mouthed, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, or greedy, okay? With such a one, don't eat meat, okay? Now, what does eating mean? Eating means something. Well, eating is being intimate. See? Eating is an intimate thing. In the culture of this day, these people, when you sat down, when they brought you in your house to eat, you were family. I mean, you were part of them. This was an intimate thing to come in and break the bread together. It wasn't just some, hey, how about a bologna sandwich and take off, you know. This was something they sat down and they talked and they fellowshipped and they made a big ordeal out of their meals. It was something intimate. And he says, I don't want you to be intimate with brothers that are saying this, that they're professing to be brothers, okay? That professes to be a brother. In verse 12, he goes on and says, because what have I to do to judge them that are without? Pretty clear, he's not talking about the external things, is he? At anybody until you make sure you're right. See? And it's not about being right or wrong. It's that you agree with what God says. You make sure your life is right before you have the right to judge anyone. Okay? What have I to do to judge them that are without? Do not you judge them that are within? Now we could say, you go to the church says, oh, don't judge me. You're not supposed to judge now. That's a lie. But see, where are you supposed to judge? Within. Not talking about some church realm. I'm talking about within myself. I have to make the judgment with who I fellowship in here. Am I fellowshipping with my worldly thoughts or am I fellowshipping with Christ? Which one should I be doing? It should be fellowshipping with Christ, not fellowshipping with all these worldly thoughts. It's an internal thing. And that's what Paul was trying to tell us here. And I know people try to make this external, but that's not what it's about. There was something going on there that God used to put this in here and teach us something spiritually. He said, do you not judge them that are within, but them that are without? You know what the language really says there? But the outsiders, God judges. But the outsiders, God judges. Therefore, put away, the words put away should be removed. Remove from, the word among shouldn't even be there. You can remove that one. How about that? Remove the word among, because that don't make it right. Therefore, remove from yourself. Now, you know what's funny about this word? I'm going to write it up here on the board and show you something. There's two words there. Look at this. Remove from yourself is what it says, right? Here's what it says. That tells you something, don't it? Two words, huh? I'll say it for the tape. It says, therefore, remove from you yourself. Now, is that external or internal, Bob? Absolutely. The language keeps pointing internal, internal, internal. He said, remove from you yourself the poneros. There's two words there. The word after you yourself, the word yourself is you yourself. Not that, but it's the word ho, the Greek word ho, which means the. Right? The definite article, the. And the next word is poneros, where it says wicked person. The word person is added. Guess what that is? Poneros. Wicked. The wicked or wicked one. Okay, we're not talking about some person in our midst. We're talking about the wicked one. Jeremiah 17:9 tells me something. The heart of man is desperately wicked and evil above all things. So he says, put away or remove from you yourself the wicked one. What is the wicked one? It's my thinking process. It's the heart of humanity, not the heart of God. It's the thinking process, the carnal mind, right? There's the problem. And if I can get that carnal mind out of my head, guess what? Where am I going then? All you got left is the mind of Christ. Because there's a tree of knowledge and good and evil, carnal mind, and the tree of life, both in the Garden of Eden. And the Garden of Eden is your mind. It's the mind of Christ. Does that make it different from what you've heard before?
Yeah. Other people tell you